And we're back here on Unusual Sources 93.3 CFMU FM. I'm Brendan Stone, co-host, and I'm just about to speak with Professor Kevin McKay. He is a professor at Mohawk College here in Hamilton, does a great deal of activism, and he's the VP of OPSU Local 240. So, Kevin, thanks for being on the program with us today.
Hey, Brendan. Great to talk to you.
Kevin, I saw you posting. There's a Hamilton-Palestine solidarity group where people exchange information and plan about what's going on in the community in solidarity with Gaza. I saw that you popped in there a few days ago. You reported that you had attended an OFL function where some very important things were decided. So this was, I guess, about policy and planning and resolutions. So before we get started, maybe could you tell us what was the OFL event that you attended?
Sure, yeah. So this was the meeting of the OFL, all of the affiliated unions, and also the labor councils within the province. And so this meeting happens every 2 years, and it is basically the meeting where the delegates get together to do the business of the Ontario Federation of Labor. So resolutions are proposed and debated and passed, and also there was some discussion of a plan moving forward to do some deep organizing within Ontario to really counter, the sort of privatization and austerity agenda of Doug Ford. So that's what was happening. It was happening in Toronto at the Sheridan from November 16th to the 21st. And there was a lot of very interesting activity, interesting resolutions, and I think some really important work that got done there.
That's what it sounds like to me. It's obviously a regular and important policy planning convention. Obviously, it has to respond to circumstances, in this case, a renewed attack on workers. And of course, there's the international dimension as well. And this is something you're familiar with. And so I guess you were participating in your capacity as a member of OPSU, VP especially of Local 240. So were you with a delegation? You were with OPSU grouping. I guess OPSU is one of the big hitters along with CUPE and some others at this OFL meeting.
Yeah, sure, for sure. So I was elected as a delegate through OPSU. There's kind of two ways in which people become delegates to the OFL, either through the union that they're a member of or also through the district labor council that they're a member of. So for instance, the Hamilton Labor Council that I'm also a member of, they had a couple of delegates there, but I was there with OPSU. So yeah, I think there was around 200 delegates from OPSU, so a big group. And I was there, representing, I guess, in OPSU, it's Region 2, which is kind of a little bit more southern on south central Ontario. But I was also there as a member of Labor for Palestine. So there is a strong contingent of Labor for Palestine, both within OPSU and also, in many of the other unions that are affiliates to the OFL. So kind of doing double duty, really a delegate on behalf of OPSU, but I was also there in solidarity with Labor for Palestine as well.
Well, it's clear that there were other people like yourself at this convention because Palestine was something that came up along with other resolutions. So what you reported to Hamilton Palestine organizers was that there had been resolutions about anti-Palestinian racism, pension divestment, and hot cargo, and they all passed with a large majority. So can you tell me about these resolutions that were agreed on?
Those were three, and it's always interesting when you're at a convention like this because there's a certain amount of politics and jockeying around what resolutions get heard and which ones don't, right? And so originally we were worried that the Palestine resolutions weren't going to make the floor, to be decided on by the membership. So, throughout the week, there was a lot of uncertainty that way, but it ended up, and I think this is, due to astute lobbying on behalf of the Labor for Palestine delegates. They lobbied the resolutions committee and I think helped them understand just the importance of these resolutions in the current moment. And so, the first one that was passed was a resolution on hot cargo. And so, of course, this is, really an international campaign, which is calling on workers to not participate in transporting material either to or from the occupied territories or Israel, any materials that could be used in either the occupation or the genocide. And so this was a, an important resolution. And what's interesting as well is that this resolution, and it did pass, and it passed overwhelmingly. There was very, very few people voting against. But this resolution also contained a provision that the OFL cut all ties to the Histadrut, which is a Israeli labor organization, which sort of positions itself as a voice of Israeli labor, but really is an organization that funnels trade unionists towards support for the Israeli state and support for the genocide.
And this aspect, if I might just ask, was that was connected to the hot cargo resolution?
Yeah, it was. So it was actually bundled right in. So the hot cargo resolution basically was that, you know, the OFL endorsed the Arms Embargo Now campaign. So, you know, to, again, not transport any hot cargo to Israel, but also to cut ties with the Histadrut. So it was kind of a combined resolution. And like I said, it passed with a great majority of the delegates backing it.
What workers in particular do you think the hot cargo resolution would apply to?
Yeah, so it's a good question. I mean, it could be, you know, people working at our ports, you know, so longshore unions, but it could also be, for instance, there was members of the ATU, the Amalgamated Transit Union, that were present at the OFL. So people, you know, who are truck drivers, people working at ports, people working at airports, you know, people working even in parcel delivery in the postal service, you know, any of these ways in which materials get transferred, where there's unionized labor involved, we would be, you know, asking those unions and those unionized workers to not participate in any trade, basically with the state of Israel.
The way that would all unfold and work out, we can talk about. There were the other two resolutions. So what is the pension divestment? Whose pension funds would be involved if we're talking pension divestment?
Yeah, so this was a great resolution that basically, you know, speaks to the boycott, divestment, and sanctions campaign, the international campaign that is trying to end the genocide in Palestine, that is putting economic pressure on Israel. And one of the ways in which, obviously, this economic pressure is placed is through, you know, the D in BDS is divestment. And so what we're looking for is for unions, a lot of unions that have pension funds have investments in, you know, all over the world sometimes in various sectors of the economy. And we know that there's also pension investments in the state of Israel that support the, you know, the military occupation of Palestine, that support the genocide. So what this resolution was to ask the OFL to develop expertise to help research, advise, and guide unions on divesting their pension funds from Israel.
Now, I can think of some very big pension plans in the world and in Canada, like the teacher's pension plan, for instance.
Yes.
Would that be something that would conceivably divest in these circumstances?
100%. So, you know, that would be the kind of pension where the struggle for divestment would be very, very important, you know, as well. Even the union that I'm involved in, OPSU, in the colleges, we have Colleges of Applied Arts and Technology pension plan, which is also a very big, very well-funded pension plan. So I think these are the sorts of plans, 100%, that we'd want to be divesting. And my understanding is there are active campaigns on these big pension plans, the ones we just talked about, and others. And so it's an ongoing struggle. But what this resolution would do is basically task the OFL with, first of all, supporting these divestment campaigns, but also really supporting them with resources and expertise as well. So not just sort of token support, but actually helping these unions divest.
Right. Okay. That's something we can take another look at in a moment. I think the third and final resolution was concerning anti-Palestinian racism. That's a newer term I've heard being used more recently. So what are they talking about if they are having a resolution about anti-Palestinian racism?
Yeah, so this is a really important one, and like you said, it is something that just in the past couple of years we've seen, resolutions to this effect and language to this effect. What this refers to is the fact that there have been people targeted since the start of the genocide, targeted for wearing keffiyeh, for instance, targeted for wearing pro-Palestinian, buttons or shirts or whatnot, targeted for having the Palestinian flag visible. And this has been happening, really people across North America, across Canada. But in particular, of course, because this is the Ontario Federation of Labour, there's an interest in its effect on workers. So both Palestinian workers, but also non-Palestinian workers who are supporting the cause of Palestinian human rights by wearing keffiyeh, showing the flag, that sort of thing. And what this resolution really does, and again, it's, asking that the OFL affirm that harassment and discrimination against Palestinians and anti-Palestinian racism will not be tolerated, right, in our workplaces, communities. And so, it again, it's important because it establishes that this behavior is not to be tolerated, and then hopefully affiliated unions, local unions, can use this language to help them push back in their own workplaces against these instances of anti-Palestinian racism.
Well, it's good to see this issue being recognized formally. When you posted this information, when you talked about this, you mentioned these resolutions. It was favorably received among organizers in Hamilton, but there were questions brought up. For example, is there actually going to be divestment?
Yes.
Is it possible to get workers to actually stop handling hot cargo? And that's kind of an abstract debate. In a sense, we don't know exactly how this is going to translate into divestment or handling hot cargo, but what do you think the impact of these resolutions is going to be materially on the way workers behave?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, Brendan. I mean, I really think that is the question, because it's important to have these sorts of resolutions pass. I don't want to minimize that, but the real test will be how does it change the situation on the ground? Like you said, will it lead to more divestment of pension funds, and will it lead to more workers refusing to carry hot cargo? And I guess my response to this is that I think that resolutions like this give leverage for activists on the ground within the union locals that are in question. So, for instance, let's say we're talking about a longshore workers union that works at a port, and if you have local activists on the ground, let's say there's members of Labour for Palestine, and they're encouraging their local to not handle hot cargo, for them to be able to say, guess what, the largest labor body in Ontario, the House of Labour in Ontario, has determined that we should not be doing this. It's important. It gives leverage to the local activists, to the on the ground activists. I don't want to overstate that case. This doesn't, there's no legal censure, on behalf of the OFL, if a union, does or does not participate in handling hot cargo. But it definitely starts creating an environment in which I think we can get action on the ground. Same thing with pension divestment. And like I said, I know there are active campaigns around divestment already, and it is going to be a shot in the arm to those campaigns where they can then say, listen, the Ontario House of Labour also supports this. And it will hopefully just make it a little bit easier on the ground to get these things done.
Right. I guess you want to have these resolutions agreed on and established before people start trying to actually do things. It'll make it much easier.
Yeah, and my sense is, Brendan, too, and I know you know how this works, but there are a lot of people who in these various unions, right, whether we're talking about pension divestment or hot cargo, there are people who are open to supporting these measures, but they don't know a lot about the situation. You know, they feel like they're incapable of maybe making an educated decision. And they're also worried about doing something that's perceived as unreasonable or irrational or radical. And so for these people, I think resolutions like this are particularly important. It lends legitimacy to the ask. It lends legitimacy to the idea of divestment or the idea of not handling hot cargo. And I think that can sway those people, you know, who just need that extra sense of, oh, wait, I'm not going out on a limb here. There's actually, you know, 900 delegates at the OFL who all agreed, you know, this sort of thing, I think, could help sway those people.
You know, that makes a lot of sense. It's consistent with what I've seen. I know from Labor Council meetings that there are trade unionists who support Palestine, but who feel isolated in their specific workplaces. You know, there just might be one or two of them who are members of a union or executive who want to do something. And if the whole OFL agrees to do something, it makes it much easier for them to take action.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, those, you're right. Like, those people then don't feel as alone. And so, let alone convincing the unconvinced, this is also a shot in the arm to those activists who are gutting it out, you know, maybe with very little support at the local level. So it lets them know that they're not in this alone.
Right. Very good. Well, did you have to, or were you able to, like, report to anyone back in Hamilton, in your locals, or anyone in unions? Was it necessary or useful to have any chats afterwards?
Yeah. And so we had a general membership meeting of our local just this past Monday of this week. That was yesterday, actually. And so I did a report back on this. And we also have a local executive committee meeting next Monday that I'm going to go into more detail. And so I'll be letting our local know, letting the Mohawk College faculty union know about these resolutions and know about the importance of this kind of work. And I know I can say this, you know, just as someone who's an activist on this issue locally and who has, you know, encountered some support and some resistance, this resolution will help me in my work within the local. So I'm quite happy about that.
Well, that's very good. It seems to have been a good use of your time and your locals' time.
Yeah, I think it was productive. You know, it was interesting. It was my first OFL. I didn't know what to expect. And I actually came away, and, you know, not just on the Palestine resolutions. There was a very strong resolution on Venezuela. And it just seemed like it was a positive and worthwhile endeavor, for sure.
Right. And that's a whole other issue we have to be looking at, too. So,
yes.
Well, thanks very much. I really appreciate that I could get you for this period of time. And certainly that's probably the best description of that meeting that anyone's going to get in Hamilton. So once again, thanks very much for being on the program today.
That's awesome. Thanks for the opportunity, Brendan.